quick discussion. Mishnah, I think that Rizal explains this idea to many places, all over the place, and the Poskim also bring this, that Mishnah is the same Lashon as Nishama, right? If Mishnah is Nishama, Mishnah has a tremendous power to help a person stay out of Gehenna. That in Gehenna, the Chidav is a medrash that Asher, the son of Yaakov, sits at the gates of Gehenna, and he sees someone on Mishnayos, he says, ah, he can't do it. Now, what does that mean? Maybe it means in a deeper way, maybe it means a lot of Amuna. I don't know what it means, but that's what it says. If you learn a lot of Mishnayos, it purifies your Neshama, and you get in. Now, part of the reason why that's so is because Mishnayos are hard. Mishnayos are hard. So, first of all, every Mishnah, Scratch just really explains, really, and work other places, this idea that the Mishnah is calibrated precisely. Every word, every what it's for and how it's for, is not by accident. So sometimes it's exceedingly difficult. Many, many times we find the Gemara that, you know, listen, it says, okay, he's an Amora, he's a stage in the Gemara, he has to explain himself. A Tana, he doesn't have to explain himself. If it was a Mishnah, okay, so he's missing something totally. You don't understand what he's talking about. Okay, Mishnah, no problem. Gemara, like, talk about it. You can't just, like, totally obscure the truth so much in a Gemara. So it's clear from the Gemara in many places that a Mishnah, sometimes it's very, very, very difficult. So there's something called a Ksur Metzor. Ksur Metzor means there's something missing here in the Mishnah. And, again, so it says it didn't fit in the Niggin. They used to sing the Mishnah. It's a tune, it didn't fit in. We know that the Mishnahs are alluding to deeper realities, so it didn't fit in that either, even though it's true. So they put it the way it's supposed to be to allude to deeper realities. Now, there are many, many gears differences in Mishnahs, different little things. And there are many things where it's missing a sentence, or it's missing a law, or it's missing something very integral. And we find different sages of the Gemara arguing about it, actually. It's actually two different approaches. General approaches, do you take the easy way out, explain it as one integral whole, and say, this is what the Mishnah is saying. That's what it means. I mean, that's difficult to say, it's hard, I have hard questions on if that's true. I don't care about the questions. You have to read easy. Or do you say, no, it's two different sages, this is one, this is the other one. Why are they, no one mentioned them, no one... There's no real names, there's no, just saying a statement, it's like, this is this and this is that, it's like very, but then I don't have questions in terms of the logic. So there's two different approaches in the Gemara. Rav Chaim V'Lozhner, Rav Yeshua Kwan brings this in his book, Kerem Yeshua, Rav Chaim V'Lozhner actually says that even till Tosis and Rashi, these two schools stay the same. Rashi went with the way of learning the Gemara on a simple level. Tosis goes more into Yerushalmi, because he says, I like the shot, even if it's harder to shove in the words. The words could mean that, but it's just a little more remote. He says, I don't care if it's a little more remote. He says, why Rashi learned in Germania, he learned in Germany, and that's where he picked up the simple level, the simple way. And Tosis learned in France itself, and France they was in the other approach. Even till this day, in the stage of the Gemara, of how to learn a Braita, how to learn a Mishnah, when it's difficult. Sometimes you'll find in the Yerushalmi and the Bavli, there are different ways of feeling like, what's this Mishnah saying? Is it missing something? Isn't it missing something? What's it telling me? Could be very different. Sometimes there are different gears souls, which is in one and not in the other one, it can happen. But again, that's part of the difficulty of Mishnah Gemara also. You learn Gemara and you don't even, sometimes you're missing things, you're not missing things. You look at the bottom, every single page has a Gosa bottom. Just copy, you know, it's supposed to be learned by heart. So when they started committing it in writing, it became the minimum amount. So then it became, it's not so clear what is and what isn't. It's just the word. Is that the word? Is this line correct? Isn't it correct? Even the whole Bible, every single page literally has different versions. Every page. And that's because there's so much obscured in the Talmud. It says, V'machshav hashivani, the Gemara explains the verse, right? You restored me, Kamin, in the darkness. So that's Talmud Bavli. That's a Babylonian Talmud, which is very, very difficult. Yerushalmi Talmud is easier. The language is hard. Knowing what the words mean is hard. The logic usually is much easier. Generally speaking, it's just easier to read. It's easier to understand what's going on. It's easier, that's for sure. That's just the way it is. And there's a reason why is that. Part of the Zohar, the Tikkun Zohar says that the reason the Torah, before we fell with the golden calf, what happened was, we were supposed to just get the Torah pretty easy. And it's supposed to be with dveikus and cleaving, just easy. When we fell back down, so it had to be hard. It has to be you're breaking, the Arizal says, you break the klipas. When you break your neck, learning Gemara, when you break your neck, learning something, understanding something. So that's helping you build yourself. That's why the Arizal also, when you learn Kabbalah also, it's not easy. It's incredibly hard. And it wouldn't, why should it have to be so hard? It has to be so hard because the only way in is to break through the door. You don't, you know. That's the Kutzker says. The Kutzker says before, Gamliel's time that only someone who's inside was like his, the way he presents himself, could get into the Beis Medrash, was allowed in. So the Kutzker said, how could you tell? So there are many ways of, one approach is they used to stand while learning the Gemara, says, they used to stand. So if you could stand all your whole day and learn with intensity, you'd belong here. If you can't, forget it. But the Kutzker says something different. He says, it's very simple. No one was allowed in. You can't get in, whoever you are. Now, if you got in, you're real. If not, tough. That's, again, it's like difficult. The difficult, you break through, then you're creating something new. Rabbi Nachman says it's different. Read this. Hashem wants to give us all the deepest secrets of the Torah, the deepest, highest things, keys to who knows what, to who knows where. He said, but how do I know if you're going to hold with me, you're going to stay with me, you're going to hold on to the Muna, not misuse it, not destroy with it. So let's see how you do. Let's see if you hold on or you fall away through all the things you get through, all the challenges. And if you hold on to them, slowly but surely things come in. So that's the bottom line of things. So you can have sometimes a different gear set, and it's fine. It just depends what they technically work out. What is it, how it is, and why it is. And the difficulty, that's what builds the Shama, that's what builds the person. So the Rebbe says that that's the importance of halacha. Halacha is very important. You learn halacha, it clarifies. Halacha is good and bad. The absolute truth and the, that was an opinion, and it could have been true, but we come out, for us, we need this way we went, not that way. Basil, not Bisham. Bisham in the future, whatever that means. Whatever that means in the future, we have Bisham. Very nice, the Rebbe says. But now, it's Beis Hillel. So when you're Beis Hillel, you're clarifying what you need for now, and you're now able to connect to Hashem. That's why the Ramchal says, so now we can lead into a little bit what we're going to talk about today, I think, as Hashem. Ramchal says that, before we got the Torah, Hashem gave us two things in Mara. What did Hashem give us in Mara? Hashem gave us Shabbos, right, and Dinim, and Halachos. So the Ramchal says, why did Hashem give us Shabbos and Dinim in Mara, which also means better actually, before we got the Torah? Why not just give it all in the Torah? Give it to them. You're about to get the Torah. No. First is a preliminary. This is like an introduction or something. He said, because we had to be worthy to get the Torah. You have to become sanctified. You have to have Kedusha to get the Torah. We didn't have enough of it. But he said, the two ways we got it were, first of all, Shabbos. There's nothing stronger for sanctifying a Jew. There's no more powerful way to sanctify us, to purify us, from learning Halacha. That's what the Ramchal says. The Rebbe again goes with this very powerfully. This Ramchal was not in print. It was a manuscript when the Rebbe was alive. It's in Otis Ramchal. But Friedland just put it out, not, I don't know, 50 years ago, whatever it was. I don't know how much before then. I don't know if it was ever even printed at all. But the bottom line is that Shabbos is a very powerful way of sanctifying a person. He said, but we also have to learn how to fight with our Yitzhar. We have to make war. We have to wage war with the Yitzhar. So how do you do that? He said, well, the Yitzhar is Gvuris, Dinin. The Yitzhar, the problem with the Yitzhar is he sends all these judgments at a person. And we're hit with this, and we're hit with that, and one day you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, and the next day you say, well, what happened yesterday? I have to make up yesterday. I have this to do, I have that to do, I have other things to do. And I also have to remember Hashem. The Rebbe says, who remembers Hashem? Who has time for that? So Hashem also. Paro kept him working. He says, that's us. The Yitzhar says, just keep working. Keep toiling up this world. Keep doing stuff. Don't think. Don't turn to Hashem. Don't. That's the bad part. That's what it's trying to push us to. So we have to learn how to fight that. So we have to have weapons. When you're hit with demons, you also need demons. He says, that's halachas. That's why you told us halachas. If you get halachas, you have a way of fighting that. That's the caliph. But Nassan actually says an incredible thing. He says that we're able to take in. He says, everyone knows the Rebbe talks about Baki Ritzo, Baki Risho. That's not. The Rebbe talks about we have to learn how to be experts in running and returning. What does that mean, running and returning? He said, well, it sounds so beautiful. He says, when you're up on high, he says, Sham Ata. In Esek Shamayim is going to the heavens, sojourning the heavens, Sham Ata, you're there. The Rebbe says, God is far away. You have to move. You have to go further. You have to see. I have so far to go. I have so much to do. How will I ever get what I have to move. I can't just sit around. I got to go. He said, if I make the netherworld my bed, here you are. Bed. He's not doing anything. He's not sojourning. He can't move. He said, but I know Hashem's here. He's taking care of me. Look, it's Kodo. He's with me. So how do I make it so that I can actually make this real in my life? It's very nice. I want to find it. You know what? Even when I'm down and I'm hit by a million different problems, I decided I want to have Hashem in my life. He's right here with me now. Don't worry. Don't be pressured. When I'm doing well, I got to move forward. We usually do the opposite, right? When you're doing well, you say, oh, hey, I did great. Great dominating. That's good. Now I can take in a basketball game. It's okay. I can do this. I can do that. Oh, and when it's going bad, we say, well, how far I am. Let it be anywhere. Who cares anyway? It's like we do the exact opposite. That's a natural reaction. So how do we make the points? Of course, devotion is a big part of things. It's another one of the club that the Rebbe talked about. We have to really ask Hashem, help me make this part of me, no matter what. And it's a slow process. It's really from inside out. Eventually, a person is able to show no reaction, be in a good place. No matter how hard it is, I'm just going to be strong. You know, like an iron. That's the classic story, right? The little kiddish, they're bombing, shelling, World War I. There's a shell hits right near the house. Everyone dives under the table because that's the only safe place. They have bomb shelters. The only safe place from shelling is under the table. When they get out from the table, not only did the altar of Nevada not dive anywhere, he was standing with the cup of Kiddush, his head in the middle of Kiddush, in his hand, and he hadn't spilled the drop. That's like the ultimate ticking. That's the ultimate where you want to get to. That's very much as photos. But Rav Nosson says, halacha, it's not by accident that the Rebbe calls it halacha. It's interesting, you know, you learn that first Torah there, it's in Torah Vav, and you say, you have to know halachas? No, it means going. Ah. He says halacha because the more halacha you know, the more vessels you have to take this in and really make it part of your life. So the more I learn halacha, the more I understand on my level what Hashem wants me to do it. Halacha, Rav Nosson says, it doesn't mean you learn the theory. Oh, if I were to have an oven, I have to distance it from this much and that much, I have to make sure it's not going to be a fire, God forbid, and I'm responsible for the fire, like you learn this halacha in Choshimish, let's say. Okay, what does that do with me? I don't have an oven. I have an oven to save today. It's like, oh, very nice. What does that do with me? It has a lot to do with me because, first of all, you kind of tend to see this, but besides that, on a simple level, if I have such a thing, I have to be careful to distance myself from damaging. That's where we saw Solanta says we learn the children, learn the Zika, they learn the Kama, they learn the laws of money, of damages. Why? So you're trying to teach the kid, don't hurt other people. Pay attention to other people's property, other people's who they are, where they are. Like that's the purpose of it. If you're missing that, you're missing something very, very integral. Otherwise, they can learn many easier things. Learn about Shabbos. Learn about lots of things. We choose specifically laws of damage so that you figure out, don't be a damager. Don't be someone who hurts other people. So dinim is the way we combat the other side. That's what I'm saying. It's the same idea. So that gives you vessels. It gives me the vessels to be able to take whatever I have coming to me, and say, okay, Hashem, thank you. I still want to have Yishuv Hadas. I still want to have, if I'm in a place where my bed is, who knows where, okay, I want to have you with me. And if I'm flying high, I want to move. And it can go back and forth in one minute, 2 minutes. Get on, get back high, and fall down, get back up and down, whatever it may be. Be very, very strong, very, very determined and committed to never let up on the fight. That's the sign of a breastover, right? They used to say, a breastover, you can't shema a breastover. You can't, he's not going to fall off the derech. He's got too much kibbutz. He's just not going to lose. He's not going to fall away. It's very important to realize that when we're learning a lot about chizik, we're learning about how to be happy when things are hard. We learn about what to do when I'm depressed, I can't move. What do I do to get out of this wonderful realm, the 7 levels, right? I want out. Thank you, I'm out. Let me out, right? So when you're learning that, it's very easy to make a mistake and say, well, so then it doesn't matter what I do. It's all okay. And that's true. It's all okay. So it's on a certain level, it's all okay. So I have to be happy no matter what, no matter where I felt to. So it's very easy to say, so then I have a kind of patur. You know, like from the army, right? There's something called a patur. You don't have to go to the army. You're out. Rabbi Nachman says there's no such thing as a patur. You don't get out. He said, you have to be happy, whoever you are, whatever you may have done, wherever you are holding. You have to try to move forward. He said, but you don't get to say, well, I don't need to learn on this, like I knew someone, he would learn the Kitz Shulchan Aruch every month. And very nice, he learned a lot of Kitz Shulchan Aruch. But he felt like he never needed to amend. I'm done. Yeah, I read the whole Kitzur Chinuch every month. I know it by heart. It's easy. So at a certain level, Rosh Moshe Shapiro said, the first thing you learn in Halacha is Kitzur Chinuch. You have to know that. That's like the minimum. That is teach you what to do on the bird's eye view at least. But you can't stay with that unless that's where you are. You just can't go further. But if you can go further, you should go further. Same thing in everything. A person trying to build his way up to an hour in his photos. So he does 10 minutes here, he does 5 minutes here, he does this. Hopefully he adds up to an hour. If he doesn't add up to an hour, he does his best. But he has to get to a point where he says, you know, I'm going to do an hour. At least an hour. I'll do an hour. That's yes, it's a level of shlemus, yes, but I want to get there. I want to do it. I want to remember Hashem. We want to remember Hashem all day. It's okay. But we're not remembering Hashem all day. But it's okay. I have to be happy anyway, no matter what, and try my best. But I'm trying to get to a place where I remember Hashem all day in a good, balanced, happy way. He's with me. Below floats Kodo. And I'm not in a place where forgetting Hashem. I'm sending Hashem out of my life. Just remembering the ice cream, not Hashem. That's not going to do it. That's the first rule. So we're going to learn a little bit about the speech.
Oh, what are we calling this?
That's the question. We should just do a path to the door. We're already almost there, right? That's the Rishash. He's still with Rishash. Rishash, I don't know if I told the story, it's an incredible story. One time this imam came over to Rishash and he said, we Muslims are holier than you Jews. Because everyone knows, pray, before you pray, you wash your hands. So we pray 5 times a day. We wash 5 times. We're holier than you guys, you know, 3 times a day, it's only 3. 3 times. We're better than you. So the Rishash looked at me and said, tell me, would you eat a frog? Frog is forbidden, according to the law. I'm not eating frog. He said, how about chicken? Do you eat chicken? Sure, chicken's great. He said, but I don't understand. The frog is all day in the water. And chickens are running around, who knows where it is? Frog are cheap. So you see, somebody can be in the water all day and not be so good inside. And somebody cannot be so much exposed to water and he's great inside. So I guess there's no proof.
What time period was he?
The Rishash was about the time of Baal Shem Tov, but here. In Eretz Yisrael.
So, 1760s?
1720s? Something like that, yeah. Sounds about right. Give or take. Very deep. He's speaking about hard. He's one of the hardest things you can possibly learn. It's really, really hard. So, I guess we'll call it, the Benish Chai. The Benish Chai will be continued. Now, look at this on speaking. On Shabbos. What can you say? What can you say? I said before, you know, best way to sanctify myself is Shabbos, but I have to be careful to hold on to the sanctity of Shabbos. That's why the Chemes Yom says, we say B'Shalom Rei Shalom Shabbos twice. You said it last night. Why are you saying it today again? He said, because you have to keep watching and keep watching. It's not just, it's something you need to watch. Watch out not to lose the holiness of Shabbos by blowing it. And of course, you can't really blow it. You're keeping Shabbos at different levels. You're going to pass right. B'Shalom Rei Shabbos. The Zohar remembering it's a higher level. Shomor, you gotta at least keep the luck. It's guard Shabbos. You're trying to guard, the beginning of guarding Shabbos also means don't lose whatever you have. Zohar is a higher thing. I'm remembering Hashem. I'm getting to a high, incredibly high level. But Shomor, at least hold on to your level of Shabbos. Don't get led astray into other things. If today's a weekday, it's not a weekday. It's Shabbos. It's a very high time. And the more I focus on that, the more I realize that, the higher up in the Shomor you stay, I have. The more you saw me in the Shomor you stay, I have. That's what the Rebbe talks about, that we're yearning. It says, Vay nefesh, in the end of a shamu. Vay of the nefesh. Marim Beitza says, how do you get the neshama yisera? Vay of the nefesh. Yearning. The more you yearn, the more you get a neshama yisera. If I'm yearning for Hashem on Shabbos, where is my neshama yisera? That's how you bring it in. You really feel it. Otherwise, it's very difficult. Rav Nosson has a lot of different things he talks about, this idea of yearning and creating my Neshama Yisrael through the yearning. I'm going to lose on Motzei Shabbos. It goes away. I have a special chance. Now, Shabbos Kodesh. Now's my chance. So grab on. Do it. Grab hold. So he says, you're not allowed to have in mind different cheshbonos. There's no different. I paid so and so much. Do I owe you money? Don't I owe you money? I'm trying to work it out. That's not okay on Shabbos. You know, I don't know if I paid my workers. I gave them so and so much. Wait, how much they do? Maybe I don't owe them anything. Maybe I do. I have to work it out. Shabbos is not the time for that. That's for sure.
And you can't speak about what you think, can you?
In terms of thinking, it's okay to think. It's better not to think, but it's okay.
But speak it out.
Yeah, speaking out is not okay. To talk only in terms, that's correct. You're right. It's important.
What about like you can't talk about like foolish thing, like having like a report.
Okay, Svodus is a different story. It's a great question. Shmuel Shapiro says like this. He says, in Breslev, there were two different approaches to Likutei Tefillos. Likutei Tefillot, right? You have different prayers. They're very, very talking about material things. I mean, you can talk about a lot of things that are material there. So some Breslevers would skip those and say it's not appropriate in Shabbos. Others would say, no, I mean because of the Ruchnis. I want the spiritual advantages of that. I'm not asking for Parnassa Stam. I'm some part of a lesson of Rabbi Nachman. I'm asking for all the spiritual influx. Part of that is, please Parnassa, so please bring me that too. But my focus is the spiritual. So then it's okay. That's really, so he said, I'm not going to decide for you what you do. And it's supposed to be the same thing. No one can decide for you.
I'm sorry, so it's not necessarily like, so I was thinking like, maybe I can't talk about like, more to be Teshuva and Shabbos.
Teshuva, you for sure can. We'll see about Teshuva. One of the big Kalalim, one of the big, general rules of the Makor Chaim in this statement that we're talking about is speaking on Shabbos. One of the rules is whatever's going to break your heart is not okay on Shabbos. If you're going to feel drawn down, dragged down, you are violating what Shabbos is about. Don't do it. It depends how you do it, but it's not supposed to leave you feeling depressed and down.
Yeah.
And Shabbos probably is not the time. I mean, the Chiddush Arim does say. He says, you're allowed to do Mila on Shabbos. You're allowed to circumcise on Shabbos. So he says, the same thing with a person's heart. If he knows, he's like, now is my chance. And if I know, never, who knows. Now I feel aroused. Now I feel woken up. And I can cry to Hashem. And tomorrow, well, I'll just go back to my same old. So he says, you should cry. That's the whole question. But the Makor Chaim actually, in terms of explaining the halachas, he uses very much this exact idea that you're talking about. Can you speak about that? Can you speak about this? Tshuva. He says, it turns to tshuva speaking to speaking at your heart to Hashem. He says, well, Cheshbonos bring you to the weekday. In the weekday, it's okay to be like feeling like under the gun. I'm like, I really need a change. Again, Rabbi Nachman says, with joy. He said, but sometimes a person, Rabbi says it clearly. Sometimes you feel bitterness, and that helps you just go out of your problems. Like, you change. He says, if you don't ever feel bitter, he says, you're never going to change. You're like, okay, it's all good. Like, that's not, sometimes you need to feel bitterness. Of course, there are different approaches. It depends on every person's neshama and where he's holding. Sometimes this person can't feel the bitterness. Sometimes he shouldn't go through that way. Sometimes it's better to just do a different approach. Not so much to be. I mean, there's going to be things anyway we have to go through. But he very much uses this in terms of understanding the cheshbonos. He says, your cheshbonos, I mean cheshbonos shamayim. He said, this doesn't mean cheshbonos. It also means cheshbonos. Do I owe the guy money? But what do I owe Hashem? What am I going to do? He says, cheshbonos is a. If it means changing, it's going to bring you bitterness. We're worried about bringing bitterness. Don't do them on Shabbos. Not right. Don't do such a cheshbon on Shabbos. Your Shabbos shouldn't be so fiery, it's going to drag you down. That's what it says.
Two different
things. The broken heart,
what is the treasure
of the
sadness? When you have sadness, you make something wrong.
No, for sure. That's for sure.
But in the broken heart, they say when you have the broken heart, you feel heavier.
It's true, but again, on Shabbos.
No, but it's very difficult.
It's difficult. Definitely difficult. It's true. There's no denying it. It's not easy. And the Rebbe says himself, "Don't even try for it. Maybe 1 hour a day, and like, who knows? Can you?" Rebbe Bender said the opposite. He's in the Rebbe says in the Kutum Aran that you need to be happy all day in order to do an hour of Svodus. This is your first question. Svodus has to be, "Was I happy 23 hours of the day?" So if not, most of you are supposed to be about happiness. Now, we happen to be lucky here in our yeshiva, Rav Arush gives actually a syllabus for his bonus, so it's not going to drag you in the wrong places. He said, but if you're just doing your own expulsions from your own place, I mean, there, I know someone who had a breakdown. He did his bonus, went to the field, and he did it the wrong way. He did the way he hit himself over the head with his bonus. I mean, that's not his bonus. That's just Yetzirah taking over and hitting you. Now, sometimes, again, the bitterness, it can be hard to figure it out, but the bitterness can help you change. Try to change, but it's too much. You can't do too much. You have to go a little at a time. You can't force it. That's what Rebbe says in the Sifas Aranis. If you have a pot filled with polluted water, with water that's dirty, you want to purify, you put it on the fire, it slowly boils up. You can't. If you want to get rid of all the bad in one shot, you have to nuke it. Put it in a volcano. It's all gone, but so is the water. There's nothing left. It's gone. You can't. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. You have no other choice. You have to be careful. How do I take this? Rebbe says, one thing at a time. Tachlis, I want to connect to Hashem, I want to be only Him, it's not me. So you have to be there. You can't be in a place where I'm gonna, you know, Yitzhak wants to kill me, so I'll let him do it. Through his bonus, that'll be his excuse. That's not the idea. Yitzhak can take anything. Do anything. Anything he can take over. So that's the Baditchavar, the Maestro Baditchavar. He went up to Silvi, he wanted to Davikul Nidre, went up to Davikul Nidre, and he's sitting there for a few minutes in intense focus, thinking about. When he's doing it, and he threw the talis, and I said, okay, so you daven kol nidre. So his father was a little embarrassed, asking the daven, he goes up to daven, throws the talis down, mutters something to himself, walks down. He said, what happened? He said, the Yetzer Hara came, he said, listen, let's daven. He said, what, I'm not davening, I don't want you, what are you talking about? You're a pride, and what? It's not, I'm not interested, I want to daven for Hashem. He said, listen, my friends, there's no way you can do anything without me. He said, what are you talking about? I went to the Rebbe the Mountain, I was there with you the whole time. I did this avodah chatzol. I was there with you the whole time. I'm with you the whole time. I said, okay, you're just like me. So daven yourself. Go for it. So I went down. Goodbye. So I'm not interested. I want to daven with Hashem. I don't want to daven with your nonsense. You can do it. Take it, anything. I can take anything and misuse anything. I'll be careful not to make the cheshbonos in a way that's, again, it's not going to be a nafkamina for lahava. It's going to be the cheshbon. It's going to be a more. That's what he's the Makor Chaim says. It's going to be more a more even keel. Like it's okay. And also, that's not necessarily the best way. You're trying to realize, it's the best thing on Shabbos to realize, wow, we're one with Hashem. Every good thing we've done for the whole week is going up to Hashem. And part of being a Jewish people, we can reveal Shabbos, nobody else can. It's a big gift Hashem gave us. So we have to focus on these sort of things to get to a place of joy and simcha and kedusha on Shabbos. That's where, you know, we're connecting to Hashem on a very deep level. That's what Shabbos is. Aye.
What is the shofar that? It's so powerful in Shabbos to say that Poloni takes and says, okay, now I'd like to do, it's so powerful in Shabbos, I'd like to do 4 or 5 hours, you know, really connect to Hashem. But we have the Yetzer Hara, and then if you're trying to do it from, let's say, a weekday focus, trying to take that same intensity to Shabbos, and then the Yetzer comes in not able to do that, and then the happiness is not there because you have a full day schedule, then what it is, so the question is, how it would be, what would be the overall, you know, prime emphasis to stay happy, and be thankful, and then in advance also, how much during the weekday before should the Hizbot to do earlier in the week be davening to make that Shabbos more powerful?
That's a great, great question. A lot of different points in the answer. So first of all, in general, when we learn about Shabbos, it's just to get a lot easier to do his holidus on Shabbos. Because when you learn, like you saw, like you're supposed to remember, you're here on Adashul Friday night, don't forget, you have angels accompanying you. If you just like talk about the Mets, they're not going to hang around with you. You're supposed to go home to a happy house that's set up. No strife. Rav Nosson says many times with the letters. The worst thing was the fighting. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't carry to throw. Why? They fought. The fighting, the machlokas, that is the worst thing, worse than anything else. What are they fighting about? So have to be very careful. Shabbos want to bring, so the Mechad Shalom says, you think the angels are going to come into your house if you're like thinking about the mess? I mean, like, you have to think about the angels. And of course, there are many different levels. You have to know where you are. Please try to think about it. But, you know, there's so much you can do to try to make a vessel for this in the right way. It's just not as simple. There's a lot. What's Friday night meal? Friday night meal, it discharges you from Gehenna. That's the Gemara. It says, whoa, that's pretty good. No Gehenna, right? The three different levels of what these meals are doing, where we're going with them.
on the Shah from Gehenna with different bechinas. What am I getting with this meal? What is this meal doing? This meal, the Rebbe says, the person fell, he violated Shabbos in whatever way. Eat a little more on Shabbos. It's an incredible thing, because Shabbos food is a very, very hard thing. Doesn't mean, I'm not saying you have to overeat or something. I'm just saying that, like, we have to know this is very holy. It's not a simple, it's a very big, big, big deal. We're eating by Hashem's table now. It's a very big time. So that's, in terms of Shabbos, it's very easy. The more we know about Shabbos, say, wow, this is like what is this day? What am I doing on this day? What's happening here? You shouldn't speak mundane matter, because it's sullying the Shabbos. Like, okay, maybe I'm not there, but at least try to learn, try not to get angry. different levels of what Shabbos is. This person worshipped idolatry, it's going to get rid of it. Clean slate. What does that mean? What does that mean? Just clean slate. Yeah, you keep Shabbos, clean slate. Everything is totally new. It's reset. Reset button. It's unbelievable. Who ever heard of such a thing? You say, Hashem, let me connect to this reset. Let me have my Neshama Yisera. And I have to yearn. If I want to get to Neshama Yisera, I have to yearn. I have to want. I have to try. I have a totally different. The more we understand about Shabbos, the easier it is to do His willingness and just connect to Hashem. Just through what I'm doing now. What is Mincha? Where am I going with Mincha? Where am I going with my Shachris? Where am I going with Kedusha? What am I doing? What am I doing? What's my meal by day? What's my meal? What am I doing? What in the world is happening? The more we learn about it, the easier it is. Now, in terms of the week, you are correct. You are definitely correct. The Chesed Avraham says, based on the result, that the only way to have a week that's really with Hashem is to remember Shabbos. He says that's because we get a special gift on Shabbos. Shlach HaKadosh says we get a neshama yisera on Shabbos. We get this extra dimension, this extra neshama. He says, so what happens like this? You have a neshama after Shabbos. And that's your kids. We all have a godly part of us and the not so godly part of us, right? The more animalistic part of us. So it's like one against one. And we're fighting, we're duking it out. So come Shabbos, and suddenly we get this nefesh yisera, the more we earn, the more we get. So but now it becomes two against one. Not so bad. Two against one. And there's three different aspects of this neshama yisera. We get an aspect of neshama yisera in terms of our actions, in our ability to speak differently, and our ability to our thoughts. Three different elements. So these we lose after Shabbos, these three elements. Sunday we lose the nefesh. So we can purify our nefesh as it's going out. I can purify our nefesh. That's why Sunday is a day for actions. I'm trying to think of Hashem, especially focus on actions. Monday is a day for speech. That's why we use the Torah on Monday. Tuesday is a day for thought. And then Wednesday we start to prepare for that Shabbos. It comes in a little drop of the neshama that's going to come, and we have another day of thought. And then Thursday, get rid of the Torah, that speech. And Friday is action. No, it's the opposite.
Makes sense.
No, it does make sense, but I don't remember. I think that's the way it goes, though. I think that's right.
Just isn't Friday preparing
for Shabbos? That's right. It's the close of Tshuva on Friday. I think so. I think so. Yeah. No, I know, but I think Friday is also thought. I think so. If I remember right, yeah. That's the way it works out. So he says the only way to really do Shabbos right, to really have a week with Hashem, is to focus on these concepts. That I'm still holding on to Shabbos, I'm still one with Hashem. We're with Hashem. That's what it comes down to. Reb Nachman says, Mikadosh Shabbos, he said, you just like took a rocket, you're somewhere else. You're nullified, there's only Hashem. So then it comes, you have to come back down. See, the more you realize what Shabbos is, maybe one day I'll connect to what my neshama is doing, because I don't know, it's very, how could someone have a grudge against someone else in Shabbos? It's impossible. If I do, I'm not really connected to the light of Shabbos, I'm missing something, I'm getting there, it's not actual. How can I get angry on Shabbos? How is it possible to get angry? With Hashem, everything's good, it's connected, giving me everything. How could I get angry? So again, I wish I could say, well, I've never gotten angry on Shabbos. Guys, I hope you'll get to my level. Unfortunately, I can't say that. I wish I could. Sometimes it's harder, sometimes it's easier. But we have to hear, we have to know that that's not, my Shabbos is not yet where it's supposed to be. I have a lot, in Mezek Shamayim, Sham Anta, I have so far to go. Like, where will I go over to the life of Shabbos? It's supposed to come to a point where even during the week, a person has Yeshiva Das, he's just not.
Today's coming out of neshama.
Today, the person's losing neshama.
I guess you're right.
So how would that? How would we purify that today?
I guess you're right, and that means I made a mistake. Sunday is not actions. Sunday is also thought. Monday is speech, and Wednesday is action. Yes, that's right. So that's what it comes down to. I'll just tell you one thing. The first step for this, the Chazal Rambam is talking about a very good person who's in a place where he's going to change his day. Sunday is more thoughts. Monday is more speech. Tuesday is more action. Then Wednesday's
so
action.
You
can, I'm sure it is, for sure. But I'll just say one simple thing, and that is Shabbos, what Moshe says, is a minimum. And on all of these levels, there's a simpler, much simpler way, which is a struggle to hold on to my Friday Muda. And the Moshe says, that means you nullify all fears. You're not afraid, you're not stressed. You're fighting with stress, you're fighting with fear. So there's a step before the Ches level. You might not remember it's that when you're trying to remember a Muda, you're trying to remember Hashem, and hold Hashem in my day. I want to be with Hashem. And I don't want to be with Hashem in a way that's going to put me above anybody else. I want to be with Hashem in a way that's going to make me heal and be with Him. That's really what it comes down to. I want to be with Hashem. Because you could take this too far. I mean, the Rebbe said there was a certain chassid of the Rebbe, and he was very careful never to speak a profane word on Shabbos. And he had a guest who came to him from a shul, and he could see this guest was something really special. He didn't know who he was. He felt a tremendous illumination. He doesn't speak. He's not asking who he is. Like, usually you open up conversation, like, who are you, where are you? Was in so he made his kiddush, he doesn't speak. Kiddush, he ate the meal, did some kiddush, said a little more, whatever he did, or whatever it was. That came back to him, Shabbos day, again, he didn't say anything. Shabbos afternoon, he came back from Shabbos, also, he didn't say anything. He said, okay, Motzei Shabbos, I'll talk with him. I really feel a tremendous connection, I feel an awe. Motzei Shabbos, he wasn't there. So he told the Rebbe said, sometimes you need to speak, like, okay, you have a rule, but like, you can't, you have to also... If you feel like something is going to help your spirituality, you better do it. Don't, be very careful not to just be so rigid that I'm just loose for it. I have to be balanced. Like, how can I connect to Hashem? Remember the Muna the right way, bring it into my life, and really, really stay with Him, just hold on to Him. Hold on, like, not to be afraid. No stress, no anger, no depression. It's a big fight, it's a big struggle. Depends what people go through, people go through better, easier things. Rav Nassim says, I can find the good in every Jew. He said, not only that, I can find enough good to fill a book. Give me any person, the worst sinner, I will find enough good to fill a book. All the good he done. He said, how can I find so much good? How could I? How is it? He said, because I know what people go through in life. I know that there's like a lot of stuff that are really hard you have to go through. Inside, outside. So I can see the good, like, okay, he's going through it because he's never, he's going through it. It's not that he needs anything, it's not that he's bad, it's just it's hard. Doesn't get rid of the bad. That's also the Rebbe says. He says, don't let your greatness be occluded by your smallness. You have smallness, you still have greatness. He said, and don't pretend that you're not small, it's because of your greatness. You have to work on getting rid of the smallness, diminishing the smallness, focus on the greatness. But you can't also lose sight of the greatness, who you are, and what you can do because of your smallness. You have smallness, okay. Everybody has smallness. But I can't lose, I want to hold on to that greatness and diminish the smallness. I want to remember Hashem, I want to remember Muna. So that's maybe the best, like the first step is holding on to Shabbos. Holding on to Shabbos, being able to be in a place where I'm not going to be confused. And if I fall, go right back up, start right back again. Even if it's not no fun, I don't feel again. So, I have to be in a place where I want very much to serve Hashem, but I don't wanna. I know that it's not 100%. I know that I have a lot of things to be purified from. So, when I feel like Hashem's talking to me, might be I'm fooling myself. Maybe that thing's harder there, giving me a little. I don't know. I have to figure it out. Sometimes I come to this Boros and I have a great Boros, and then I speak to someone who knows a little better than me, understands more than me. He just changes everything the opposite. He says, no. This is the truth. Once I hear that, I say, yeah, this world was good. I tried to connect to Hashem. A lot of good points there. But I am a human being. I'm like, you know, I had my whatever feelings they were, and they just took over and took me somewhere that wasn't Emes or Emes. It wasn't the absolute truth. It was true. There was a lot of truth to that. But the absolute truth, not really, no. So it's very easy to get confused. Very easy to say, you know, that's why it's important to talk to someone a little, knows a little better. Even if not, at least a friend, because he doesn't have my, it's an out-of-the-box kind of picture. He knows, he doesn't care. Yeah, do this, I don't care, dude. Go to the ball game, go play the ball game, I don't care. Do you need it? I don't know. Like, he's just trying to help you, he doesn't care. He's not trying to push you, he's not making a profit. If he makes a profit, don't talk to him. But if he's not, he doesn't think he's going to get a profit, so then why not tell the truth? Well, with me, I want to go to the ball game, so I must have needed ideas. Like, that's all nonsense, it's all phony. And it's very easy to get fooled and say, well, I thought Hashem was talking to me. But actually, that isn't, that's not true at all. And sometimes it's a tzaddik, you get a person who's tzaddik is really holy, the Rav Arash, the great tzaddikim, and he'll tell you to do something which you say, well, that's impossible. Like the Rebbe says in this formisis. It's like almost reckless. How do I do that? You have to find a way. You can't. And you had no, it's like out of your radar, totally impossible. Like, I never, no way. Like, it's going to be, it's such a stretch. It's like, and you do it, you start to do it, and it just starts to work. And you say, wow, that was, I never would have figured that out in a million years. I had no way. I wasn't even doubting about that. It's so absolutely out of my, I think it's out of my league, completely impossible. So, no, this is what you need to do. And that's fine. You can see the shamas, you can just see a little bit. That's the cheshbonos on Shabbos. So I might need it. I might need this cheshbon, and it's going to worry me, like the Kohan says. Worry, no worries. Shabbos is not the day for worry. No worries on Shabbos. Shabbos has to be all Hashem. See, because it can worry you, he comes out even thinking the cheshbonos. Yeah, this is right. Sorry. Even thinking he's the Benish Chais is not okay. Cheshbonos is not okay, even thinking he's good.
So let's say like on Shabbos you do something, you know you did something wrong, and then it's like, can I start doing teshuva now?
Sometimes you can. It's better to do a tshuva that's going to be positive, with joy. Throwing out the trash. Like, you throw out the trash. Don't focus on the trash.
Yeah. Like, I shouldn't just, like, ignore, like, maybe something wrong.
Depends. If it's something, you need to do tshuva right away.
Yeah.
Depends. Sure. Undoubtedly. It's like taking out the trash. Rebuzeski likes to say every house has, like, a sewer system, garbage. But usually when you go to someone's house, he's not obsessing about, oh yeah, this is. It's there, okay, it's a problem. If it gets a little too much, you gotta clear it out. But you don't talk about it much. It's not the focus. If you're trying to do the plumbing, then you focus on it on your own. You don't let it get you down, you don't spend too much time in it, you don't think, oh, you do what you need to do, and you keep moving. That's all. Very simple. When you make a party, you don't talk about the soup. It's the same thing, a Shabbos Kodesh, let me just check this.
And it's too heavy, just leave it. You're bringing that and leave it for your mission.
Right? Sure, absolutely. At least, even leave it till much later.
So, this is how, like, all, like, the negative, like, emotions are, like, that would be, like, as I think, because I did something wrong, so I have to, like, figure out.
Sometimes. Again, Rav Nosson says, this is a very beautiful thing about a Medrash. The Medrash says, Hashem asked. Truth. Hashem asked peace. Should I create the world or not? He said, no, they're going to just fight. Truth says, no, they're going to lie. So Hashem threw truth to the ground and made the world. So many people ask this question. What did that help, first of all? Did they lie? They told the truth, right? So then what's the point of throwing truth down? A. And B, like, what do you mean? What's going on here? After all, like, what about Machlokas? Why not throw peace down? No, peace can stay in its place, throw truth down. So this is a very profound idea. He says, you have to know that when I have truth, and when I have peace, very often they don't get together so well. He says, sometimes the truth is going to kill you. That's what he says. He said, and that truth is a lie.
Sometimes you have to lie to peace.
No, but also true. Definitely true. But that's for sure true. No, that's for sure true. That's for sure true. The sin brings different times. The Gemara talks about different times. But bottom line is, he says, if you're dealing with something that's true, let's say you made a mistake, I will complain, oh, I lost out on something, it was so important, right? So that truth is going to torture you now for a day or two or an hour or two, right? So that truth is a lie. He said, because that truth is God. So if that truth is taking you away from God, it's not for now. It's a lie. It's too much for you. So you throw it to the ground, and then there's peace. It's the same thing with interacting with two different people, one to the other. Everyone wants to impose his truth on someone else. I have an easy time waking up in the morning at 7 a.m. Why don't you wake up? Temper, okay, maybe I'm a little too rigid. That's not, you have to understand me, blah, blah. You're more relaxed. You don't get up so easily, but you don't have a temper so easily either. So you tell me, hey, I think you have a temper, what's wrong with you? Right? Everyone, since this is, Rav Nachman says, you have to let go of, each one has to let go of his own Indian, right? The guy has a temper, say, well, he also has his pluses there, so, yeah, I see the positive. I'm like, listen, you know, don't try to impose your plus on him. Same thing the other way. If I give it up, okay, he's more relaxed than me, though. I have to see the positive, see the good. That's the basic idea.
Thanks. That's it. Just today, right?
A second. Okay, that's all.
Thanks.
Sorry, I woke you up.
No, I was listening. I'm worried.
Are we over there? This is Ramanasha. Rosh is not here, so.
Yeah. Just even to think his bonus is not okay.
Thanks so much for that.
The Lush is Lakshok Cheshbonos. So even thinking, because it's going to drag me down, not only speaking, that's one place where you're not allowed to think about. So it could bring me down. That's what seems to.
Yes.
That's what he seems to be saying here. Maybe Lakshok Cheshbonos means to make the Cheshbonos. It's really making the Cheshbonos a problem. I seem to recall, though, but if you're thinking it, you can't get down about it. But Lakshok here is probably to calibrate.
Oh no, I overcharged someone.
I think it means keeping it out. Yeah, it's talking about speech here, like you said originally. Even though you use the lashon lachshok, he just means to calculate the cheshbon. He's talking about speaking. If you think it, no one can tell you it's absolutely prohibited. But it's not proper on Shabbos to speak about it. And thinking it, he says, you won't have a bracha from it. It's not a good thing. That's what he seems to say. The thought is not, like you said, it's misasidious, it's proper, but it's not. That's not the problem. But again, if it's going to drag one down, you shouldn't think about it either. That's what basically it comes down to. So the prohibition is talking about speech here, not so much. Even when he says lakshok, because lakshok is thinking about it. Lechoyot means speaking it out. That's the problem. Alright, so I think that's today's. Maybe tomorrow I'll be able to stay later.
Thank you so much.